Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
First to Washington, where Congress has until Thursday now to pass a compromise deal or risk putting the federal government into default by not raising the debt ceiling. Is the world financial system a believer in the U.S. compromisers in the Senate and House? Or are they taking steps to prepare for the worst? Today, Simon Johnson joins us, former chief economist at the IMF. Simon Johnson, are you a believer?
I believe that the U.S. will pull back from the brink. And fortunately, a lot of other people around the world seem to also share that belief.
And the brink may be less of the issue than the extent to which this kind of process erodes people's belief that the U.S. is in there for the long term and accelerates people's preparations for finding an alternative to the dollar or treasury bills, that sort of thing.
Yes, I think this encourages everyone to diversify their portfolios. The Chinese are calling for de-dollarization, and the British today are out saying that they would welcome the Chinese developing the renminbi, the Chinese currency, as an offshore currency based in London. Well, you can see where this is heading.
And the politicians in the United States who claim that the U.S. is the greatest economy in the world, that they would do something that would essentially call for a backup plan around the world. What do bankers and financiers and economists such as yourself think about that? I mean, aside from the pageantry of U.S. politics, it is completely suicidal.
It's suicidal in an economic sense, certainly, and it has already done great damage to the economy. The level of uncertainty has increased. That discourages investment, discourages consumption. It weakens the recovery. And I'm afraid that the politicians who are responsible for this form of holdup have a lot to answer for.
Is there an issue with the Federal Reserve in the sense that when they begin to taper out of the quantitative easing, the stimulus program under Janet Yellen, as we expect will be the case early next year, that there's going to be a much greater sort of snapping of the rubber band and that interest rates will rise much more quickly, especially because of this crisis that we're in right now?
Not necessarily. I think the impact of the monetary policy decisions is somewhat independent. But you can see also from what people were saying over the weekend at the IMF World Bank meetings that countries are very nervous about the way which we're going to impact them, both with the Fed tapering, when and if that comes, and with our actions on fiscal policy. It's a sort of a whipsaw for the world economy, which is entirely due to what we have got ourselves into.
And we're basically making the case that the U.S. is manipulating the world economy either through its monetary policy or this fiscal nonsense, again, encouraging people to find alternatives.
Well, I wouldn't use the word manipulation, but I think disturbing the world economy. You know, we're banging up against each other, having a bit of a fight on Capitol Hill, not realizing that every elbow knocks over somebody else's economy or, you know, pushes a couple of more million people down closer towards the poverty line. It's extreme carelessness on the part of people who do run the world's most important economy.
And let's speak for a moment about the conversation that maybe was taking place over the weekend at the IMF and the World Bank. They had their meetings with this hanging over their heads. There's been a lot of talk in Washington, particularly among Democrats, that the Republicans have enshrined this as a way of doing business continually going forward. What is the chance that, no, actually the opposite is true, that this time we're going to see that maybe they have learned their lessons and that this is not going to be something that we return to?
No, I'm afraid all the indications we're getting are that while we will likely avert disaster this week, this is going to be some form of business as usual, meaning a great deal of uncertainty damages our economy and spills over and has the worst possible effects on the rest of the world.
Does the fact that we've come close twice now mean that the U.S. default, if it does happen, say 6 months from now, that the world will be insulated from it, that we will be the only ones that suffer and the default will have less of an impact because people have had time to prepare?
No, unfortunately, this is the kind of disaster for which you can't really prepare. This is the hurricane that's just off the scales. This is the earthquake that is beyond what you can handle with your building code. This would sweep away most financial systems and most fiscal systems around the world.
Of course, the Ron Pauls of the world say that it's all propped up by paper and smoke and mirrors to begin with, that maybe the option if the U.S. defaults would be for everyone to just kind of ignore it because it can't actually go away. There's no way to take the U.S. out from underpinning the global economy.
I, think it's shocking to the rest of the world when they hear prominent politicians in the United States using language like that. I don't know any other country, any other prominent countries, actually most banana republics, do not have politicians who are able to talk that way freely in public and have some sort of echo chamber. It's astonishing and deeply scary.
And the effect of the default would scare them into understanding that there are tangible results, that it's not smoke and mirrors, that it's based on credit, faith, and belief, the entire global economy.
It would certainly be scary to default, but then you can't put it back. You can't say, oh, we've defaulted now, we're going to undo that next week. Once you've gone through that, as many other countries have experienced, once you have that reputation, once you've damaged those asset holdings, once the risk premium is being applied very generously to your treasury debt, that's a very different world.
Risk premium being applied to your treasury debt, meaning that the U.S. is Argentina, right?
The U.S. is Argentina, or the U.S. is Russia, or the U.S. is any other country that's been through a traumatic debt experience in the past 10 to 15 years. At the moment, we're the safe haven. Our treasury debt is regarded as the safest asset in the world. That can change, and it will change if we continue down this path.
Simon Johnson, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Simon Johnson, former chief economist at the International Monetary Fund.